3 weeks ago, I'm not sure, I preached a sermon on communion, participation, fellowship in the body and blood of our Lord from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. And I argued there that what Paul's talking about there is a top-down vertical communion initiated by heaven or Christ with his people. Communion in the body and blood is receiving of the benefits purchased by the crushed body and shed blood of our Lord. In other words, the Lord's Supper is more than a memory. It's a means of grace, means through which God is pleased, when he is pleased, to cause the benefits of Christ to be experienced and enjoyed by the people of Christ. So the question I wanted to follow up with from that sermon was, how do these benefits of his body and blood come to our souls? The Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, you know, his body and his blood that's no longer shed. It was shed, but his human nature is in heaven. How do we get benefits from what he did when he was on the earth now that he's gone from the earth? How do the benefits of Christ get to his people? You know, Mario, is there an air conditioner on? Okay, because I can hear it. I can't feel it, but I can hear it. So I want to ask the question, how the benefits of Christ get from Christ to us? The theological mechanics behind means of grace. And I want to do that considering Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Probably a very well known to most of you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God has blessed believers, number one, with every spiritual blessing. Number two, in the heavenly places. Number three, in Christ. I think that's the best way to read that. So that we have three reasons or three grounds for God to be praised by believers. Because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Because he has blessed us in the heavenlies. In heavenly places, some of the versions read. And thirdly, because all this blessing is in Christ. But I want to consider just the first reason why we ought to give praise to God in this passage. Because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The simple prepositional phrase, the preposition is a little word with, that connects a noun, in this case, blessing, with either a verb or another noun, with blessing. He has blessed us with blessing. But it not only says with blessing, but with every blessing, and not only with every blessing, but with every spiritual blessing. So we're going to look first of all with what does with blessing mean? Then what does with every blessing mean? Then what does with every spiritual blessing mean? When you put it all together, I think it helps us understand how benefits of Christ get to people of Christ. So with every blessing, the first reason God is worthy of praise in our passage is due to the fact that he has blessed us with every or all blessing. The word all or every is modifying the word blessing. Blessing of every kind, we could say. And it indicates quantity. So of every kind of blessing that God has. Every spiritual blessing that God has for believers has come or will come to them. God doesn't have spiritual blessings for believers that won't come to believers. Either they have come, they are coming, or they will come. He holds, in other words, God doesn't hold anything back. It's not like as a believer you're going, I don't know if I'm going to have enough grace to, you know, get through this or whatever. You don't understand God and grace if you think that way. He holds nothing back. Our Father is not a stingy giver. He gives all the benefits that Christ has procured for His people and gives them through means, but He gives them. So He is to be praised due to the quantity of blessings conferred. We could say this, that God lavishes, God heaps, God pours out blessings upon us and holds nothing needed back. But notice it's with every blessing that is spiritual, every spiritual blessing. Now, what does that mean? This could refer to non-corporeal or something invisible, okay? Spiritual, not material. Immaterial, not material. It could. Or it could mean, and I think it's best to take it this way, it could mean a reference to the bearer, the bringer of every blessing. These are spiritual blessings, that is, they are blessings brought as the fruit of Christ's redemptive labors to the souls of men by a spiritual bearer. We could say, the Spirit who bears or brings the benefits of Christ to the people of Christ. So I think it's best to read it that way, and certainly preaches better, that here it refers to the Spirit of God as the bearer of God's blessings. The agent, the mediator between the mediator and His people is the Spirit who brings the benefits of Christ to the people of Christ. So listen to an 18th century commentator on this passage. But in all other passages where, as in this clause, the word spiritual is used to qualify Christian men or Christian blessings, its ruling reference is plainly to the Holy Spirit. Okay? So spirit here, spiritual, is not with reference to non-material. It's with reference to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. He then concludes, this author, therefore, the prevailing usage of the New Testament warns us in saying that these blessings are termed spiritual from their connection with the Holy Spirit. God is to be praised, God is to be blessed, because He has blessed us with every blessing that is, that the Spirit Himself brings to us. Here's another man, he says, spiritual blessings, therefore, the benefits that come as gracious gifts from the Spirit of God. Another man says this, commenting upon every spiritual blessing, the circle is complete, no needed blessing is wanted, lacked, nothing that God has promised or Christ has secured is lacking. All spiritual blessings are what God has blessed us with. And those blessings are all in the hand of the Spirit. Because this is a metaphor. The Spirit is God. He's invisible. He doesn't have a physical hand, but we're creatures, so we have to use this kind of language. Christianity is the dispensation of the Spirit, and as its graces are inwrought by Him, they are all named spiritual after Him. So you've heard me say this before. The Spirit of Christ brings the benefits of Christ to the people of Christ through the means ordained by Christ. Here we have the theological mechanics of means of grace. What is it? Benefits coming to our souls. How? The Spirit of Christ brings the benefits of Christ to the people of Christ. And in this passage, Paul says, because of that those theological mechanics behind the scenes that causes the benefits to come to us, you know what we're supposed to do? Praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy in His presence. And you know the rest of the passage. But this is where it comes from. Matter of fact, it was about 6 or 8 or 10 years ago when this language came into my head. I'm sure I'm borrowing it from other people, but the benefits of Christ are brought to the people of Christ by the Spirit of Christ through the means of Christ. This is one of the texts that really gripped me. And I think when you understand it properly, it should grip you as well. Two contemplations before we have the supper and sing. First is this: God is to be praised by believers due to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in ushering into our souls heavenly blessings that have been purchased for us by Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So God is to be praised for the work of the Spirit who brings to our souls things purchased by Christ that have to be brought to us in order for us to benefit from them. We are at the mercy of God to bring benefits through means. He has to bless the means. We all know the pain of sitting under sermons by your pastor that aren't being blessed. You know, it happens. Even with Rick Anderson. I was there once. God has to bless the means, okay? But you know what? God blesses the means. Does He always bless in the same way to every single person? No, we're not robots. But He does bless the means. And so we ought to praise Him and thank Him. If He doesn't bless the means are just means at best. That's it. So we could even say this, that a taste of heaven has been and is being brought to the souls of believers by the Holy Spirit. Grace is glory begun, or as the old Puritan said, glory in the bud. Have you ever heard that before? Grace is glory in the bud. Grace is a taste of something better, something bigger. The Spirit is a pledge, the Spirit working in our hearts and lives is a pledge, is a down payment of something bigger and better to come. So that grace is really eschatology sneaking into this age, eclipsing this age. It's the future brought into the present. Some of you have heard this before. This age, the age to come, the age to come is the age of glory, human nature in a better state than it exists now. Somebody entered, the first citizen of the age to come already entered that state. Who was it? It's not you. It's not me. It's the Lord of glory Himself. And then the benefits of Christ are brought to the people of Christ who are weak, feeble pilgrims who get glimpses and foretastes of that which is to come in this age through the means of grace. There's a big reason we should be very thankful. You know, that's how it works. It's like grace is glory in the bud. And being a Christian is having experience, just a faint replica, okay, of something eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard and all that the Lord has in store for those who love Him. The Holy Spirit then is the mediator between the exalted Redeemer and elect sinners via the means of grace. And He brings purchased blessings to souls. We could even say it this way: special delivery from Christ. So may the Lord be praised because He has blessed us richly in Christ. The second and final consideration is this: how does this relate to the Lord's Supper as a means of grace? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every Spirit-brought blessing bought for us by the Son in conjunction with the purpose of the Father and the Son and the Spirit for the redemption of the elect. How does all this connect to the Lord's Supper as a means of grace? So the answer is how the teaching of 1 Corinthians 10:16 can be explained about communion in the body and communion in the blood of Christ. How can it be explained in terms of its theological mechanics? Ephesians 1:3, that's how. When we take the supper, it is the Spirit of Christ who brings the benefits of Christ's body and blood to the souls of the people of Christ for the benefit of our weak, feeble, and needy souls. So my final word is this. It's in my notes. Praise the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would help us to know, as much as the mechanics are revealed to us in Scripture, of how you bring what Christ did for us 2,000 years ago freshly to our souls so that we could be strengthened. Thank you for revealing this ground for blessing heaven, spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing brought to us. We are dependent upon the Spirit of God blessing the means of grace. Bless, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.